Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of naturenow@kptz.org.
Hello, and welcome to KPTZ's Nature Now. I'm your host, Nan Evans, and with me today is Kelsey Lang. Kelsey is the interpretive specialist and naturalist here at Fort Worden State Park, where the station is located, as well as you work in other parks in the area, state parks in the area, right?
I do, yeah. Yes. Fort Flagler, Fort Townsend, and all of our local little parks.
Good. So we're glad to have Kelsey. And what we'll be talking about is the upcoming Bio Blitz at Fort Worden. It's on June 6 and 7. And of course, the first question somebody will have is, what the heck is a BioBlitz? Well, stay tuned. We'll find out. And we'll talk about the importance of biodiversity in our own state park, of learning more about biodiversity, and how communities and scientists have joined efforts really around the world to learn more about ecosystems through the BioBlitz approach. And if you get inspired, at the end of the program, we'll talk about how you might like to join to have some of the fun. So first of all, Kelsey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. I moved out here, a little over 5 years ago now from Florida. And so I've worked at a number of parks as in different roles, too. I started off as a tour guide down at the Ding Darling National Wildlife Refuge. I've worked as a tour guide down in the Everglades. I've worked for local, like, county parks and rec. And before here, I worked as a ranger at a Girl Scout camp.
Oh, really?
And now I'm here. And I've been here working for this area of state parks for the last, going on 5 years now.
And what is your major responsibility sort of in the day-to-day world?
It varies heavily. So as an interpretive specialist, I do all of the sort of education and outreach side of things in parks. And that's not just like in-person programming, which could be public programming, which we do a lot in the summer at multiple parks, as well as like school field trips throughout the year. But I'm also designing interpretive panels to put up in our parks. So there's the self-guided sort of educational interpretive opportunity for people. And we have several museums in our parks too. So I actually do a lot of collections work and designing of exhibits in our museums, the signage in the museums, and I work a ton with volunteers as well. So if it's educational in some way or another, I'm involved.
You're in it. Okay. Well, let's now go back to the notion of BioBlitz. So the first question, of course, is, what is a BioBlitz?
Yes. So BioBlitz is a communal citizen science effort to record as many species, living creatures, living organisms within a designated time and location. And it's often hosted by a nonprofit called iNaturalist.
Mm-hmm. And listeners will remember we've talked about the wonders of iNaturalist a little bit in the past, and that's something I want to talk about more. But tell us just briefly what kind of tool iNaturalist is.
So it's a web-based platform or app that you can get on your smartphone, and its whole goal is to collect information about the environment, about those living creatures in your backyards, in your local parks, like anywhere and everywhere. So people can document what is around them. And this is a global nonprofit. So it's really kind of cool to go online and see the map and just like what is out there.
Yeah, which is really interesting to me, too, because I think, well, as you mentioned, it's a community science project. People who are scientists and naturalists are involved, as well as people who are not volunteers. And the notion that you can collect information that way that you can't collect any other way. The scientists don't have the time, the money, the resources, the whatever that you can get when you have this collaborative effort.
Yes.
I find that really fascinating.
Same.
So in terms of the science first, what kind of information is gathered and how's it used?
So the observations that are made by people are then identified and verified by other community members on iNaturalist. So you don't actually have to know what it is you're taking a picture of.
So if you're part of the effort, mm-hmm. you go, oh, that's an interesting something. I have no idea what it is. And you take that and it goes to iNaturalist and then goes out to experts who know what it is.
Yes.
And that's where it can get identified if you don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the beauties of iNaturalist, just in general, not even associated with BioBlitzes, but in general, as you upload those observations onto iNaturalist, other people who know what that thing is, know what that bug is or bird or plant, they can come after you and then help with the identification of it. And then when there's 2/3 of the community that have come to an agreement or a consensus, it becomes labeled as research grade. So what that means is that enough people have said, okay, we know exactly what this thing is.
And so then it's real, it's got a scientific imprint on it.
Yeah.
It's data that's science-based.
Exactly. It's kind of like being peer-reviewed in mm-hmm. a way. And so it gets that research grade label to it. And then that means it can be used by scientists or natural resource specialists, land managers, lots of different types of jobs. And people out there can use that data to make informed decisions for conservation efforts.
So I'm hearing that it really creates the baseline data for an area that's hard to get, that kind of information. And then that can be, and it's because it's science-based and reviewed, as you mm-hmm. said, that can then inform conservation, use management, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a bit about, in addition to the science benefits, the sort of, the community benefits of the BioBlitz.
Yeah, that's the other great thing about it is you don't have to be a nature nerd or a scientist to go out there and enjoy BioBlitzes or use iNaturalist. So the whole idea of a BioBlitz really, first and foremost, I think, is designed to connect people to their environment, to get people outside, enjoying the outdoors, learning a little bit about what is around them, and also paying a little bit closer attention to what is around them mm-hmm. too. And then it creates the community aspect because you're not out there by yourself doing this. There's lots of other people out there looking and observing, and it brings people together. It creates that community, which you're enjoying in the moment and then also online later looking through all the observations.
You know, it also seems to me like it would be a great way to introduce kids, hopefully build interest in science, because it sounds like it would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year I had a group of high schoolers come out for the BioBlitz and help. And in the past, we've had Girl Scout troops and other like scout groups come and be part of the BioBlitz, and families too. So it's a great opportunity, I think, for all ages.
And I think about many conversations we've had on this radio show about biodiversity and how important it is to know how diverse an ecosystem is and to really know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take a moment here and remind listeners that just about a year ago on Nature Now, I did an interview with Tor Hansen, who is a wonderful naturalist, conservationist, and author of many, many great books, solely talking about not only biodiversity, but what the benefits of diversity is in many arenas. So in my mind, that's one of the things that excites me about the BioBlitzes, is really getting a handle on that.
Absolutely.
Kelsey, I want to ask, how do you think about biodiversity, and why is it important that we do think about it and that we learn more about the biodiversity of a place?
So the way I think of biodiversity is, or biological diversity, is the variety of living organisms in an area. So again, that's all encompassing: trees and plants, fungi, mammals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures, insects, absolutely everything. If it's alive, it's part of that biodiversity to an area. So as far as significance goes, the greater variety you have of living organisms in an area, the healthier that environment is. And so I like to think of it like a business or an organization. When you have a lot of specialized jobs, you know, people in specialized jobs in different departments that are then supported by coordinators and managers helping that cross-department sharing of information, you know, those businesses and organizations are a lot more stable than, say, a business that's expecting somebody to wear a lot of hats, to do a lot of different specialized roles, right? So we've probably all worked in jobs like that at some point in our lives, and there's just so much more stress on yourself. You get burnt out a lot quicker when you're having to do so many different things, right?
So instability, then you can also use words like sustainability or resilience to environmental change. Sometimes I think of the analogy to financial investments. You're not going to put all your money in one stock or one bond, because if something happens to that, you lose big time.
Exactly.
So you want a diverse portfolio. It's kind of very much the same way in the biological world, isn't it?
It is. It is. And so when you have lots of different creatures filling all of those hundreds, if not thousands, of different ecological niches, those specialized jobs that animals have, that trees and plants and fungi have, the environment's much more stable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, again, if you have very limited variety of creatures, all of those living things are doing double duty, triple duty, quadruple duty, trying to hold mm-hmm. things together. So when a natural disaster hits or increased development occurs, the environment gets super stressed. So resilience is a great way to put it.
And, you know, a sad fact of modern life, of course, is that the biodiversity has been decreasing rather dramatically.
Yes, and we're starting to see those impacts, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So when you start questioning, you know, why are the trees dying, or I'm not seeing as many birds in mm-hmm. my backyard at the feeder anymore, those are the sorts of things.
Obvious things, yeah. Or I'm only seeing one or two species, where are all the others?
Right.
Now let's maybe bring it home to Fort Worden. In your experience here with the BioBlitzes that are done here, how have information from the BioBlitzes helped park managers here in Fort Worden and or Fort Flagler or any of the other of our local parks?
Yeah, it's been really cool for park staff to be involved and just see what all is out there, of course. But more than that, our GIS team, Geographic Information System, it's like a fancy online map with mm-hmm. all sorts of data, right? We have a GIS program that pulls data from iNaturalist into our maps that we use. And so programs like our natural resource program can then hop online and zoom into a park and look at that data and get a better idea of what's going on at the ecosystem level in those parks, because our natural resource program, you know, they're not everywhere all at once, mm-hmm. right? We have might be a little bit off here, but roughly 124 state parks in our system, plus like some other.
That's in the whole state.
In the whole state, yeah. And some other managed lands that aren't, you know, full-blown parks. But anyways, it's a lot. So it's really beneficial for them to be able to see what are the types of plants in this park. Are there any species of special concern? Do we have anything that's endangered? And so every time a development project comes up, or I don't know, like electrical work, you know, lines have to be dug, we can look at what is in that area and see what kind of impacts it's going to have.
I would guess, let's turn this into a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does it help you out with some of the sort of invasive problems that state parks have?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It helps us to see what is still showing up in the parks, right? Or what is out there that maybe we didn't realize was out there. So yes, we want to see all of the living things in the park, not just the native and the unique, but the common, the invasive, mm-hmm. all of the living creatures.
And I know I've walked the trails of Fort Worden enough to know that the park has really done a lot of work removing invasives, I'm remembering, you know, a couple of years back, discovering some surprise plants.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was the Port Orford cedars that were discovered. So, yeah. So if anyone, by the way, is just tuning in, this is KPTZ, Nature Now, and I'm Nyan Evans, and I'm talking with Kelsey Lang about the upcoming BioBlitz in Fort Worden State Park. So let me go back to sort of thinking about the BioBlitz in our local park. How many years has it been going on?
Great question. So this was actually started by the Port Townsend Marine Science Center back in 2018. Okay. And then in 2024, they approached state parks and asked for us to start taking the lead on it. And we've been collaborating on these events ever since. So we have data from BioBlitzes since 2018.
And that would also imply that you have data not only for the terrestrial environment, but for the nearshore marine environment.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Really cool. And they have some local divers that usually try to get out during the BioBlitz event as well, go underwater, take pictures. Mm-hmm. So we're getting a full picture of what is in and around Fort Worden.
So in your 5 years, do you have any stories of things that have come out of a BioBlitz that have impressed you or that you remember or that you think are really important to share?
I wish I had a better answer for this. I don't have any like crazy, unique creature sightings. However, I've been really blown away at the amount of things that we've been able to identify and document during these BioBlitz events. And I just think it's really special how excited people get about them. It's kind of gamified too with iNaturalist, so there's a leaderboard for whoever was the top contributor.
Oh.
So it's kind of fun,
a game,
to watch,
right? Yeah.
Too. But no, it's just like collectively been a really fun experience.
Well, and your comment about being blown away by the numbers of different living creatures, you know, I think about state parks, I don't necessarily, particularly the ones that are very heavily used for recreation, I don't think of them as being hot places of biodiversity. And I'm realizing, Nyan, you're just not very informed on this.
Yeah, so I went back and looked at some of the data, and collectively, since 2018 until now, we have documented 546 unique species within Fort Worden.
That's plants and animals.
Plants, animals, fungi, the lichen, sea creatures, mm-hmm. you know, anything and everything that's alive.
That's 540, you said?
546 unique
46,
species.
Okay.
Collectively, we've had just shy of 3,000 observations, and 2,000 of those are research grade. So
wow.
I just think that's super cool.
I mean, that's a level of science research and information that's really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I just recently created what's called an umbrella project in iNaturalist that directly compares all of the past BioBlitzes. So again, if you're a nature nerd like me and you like to see all the stats and information, you can now go online to iNaturalist and find that umbrella project. See how it's changed over the years.
And that makes then all that data is completely publicly available.
It is, yes. Readily available to the public.
Boy, that's a change over the years. That's exciting. And you also mentioned being excited by just the people doing it.
Yeah, people get really into it, whether they're experienced or just trying it out for the first time. So it really does have that community building sort of sense to it. And you know, great way to connect people to our natural world.
So I don't want you to spill any secrets, but do you have a favorite place in the park?
Ooh, great question. Okay, one of my favorite places is the old searchlight shelter that's along the bluff.
Oh.
I think it just has one of the best views, especially on a clear day. You can see straight out to the San Juans, and the water is just like that gorgeous turquoise. Mm-hmm. It almost looks tropical, and you know it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
And then I also really like certain sections of the Peace Mile Trail, mm-hmm. that sort of more forested area of the park.
Nice. So let's drill down a little bit. We've referred to this, but be really clear. Who can participate in a BioBlitz?
Everybody. Absolutely everybody can participate. Like I said, you don't have to be knowledgeable about the natural world on any level. And what's really cool now is that iNaturalist has been in existence for such a long time that when you're using the apps on your smartphones, it'll even give you hints when you take a picture. It'll say, I think this is a red alder tree, or I think this is a robin. Because it compiles all of the other pictures that people have used to document things throughout time.
So does someone need to have a smartphone and the iNaturalist app downloaded, or can they come to one of these and get help to do that?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways you can participate. You can come out with a camera. And as long as you have access to a computer to then upload those pictures you took with your camera, you can do it that way. You will need to create a free iNaturalist account.
Yeah, that's the other thing I think it's spectacular about iNaturalist is it is free.
It's free. Or alternatively, if you do have a smartphone, then they make it really easy to use the iNaturalist app, which is also free, or the Seek app, S-E-E-K, mm-hmm. Seek by iNaturalist. If you connect that with your iNaturalist account, then during the time and period of the BioBlitz, your observations will get auto-loaded into the BioBlitz project.
So if someone wants to participate but is a little uncomfortable about all this app stuff, mm-hmm. could they come take pictures of what they see and then maybe after the BioBlitz come to somebody to say, help me take the next step?
Yeah, good question. Well, what I'll say to that is we're going to try to help people out through the process of the BioBlitz.
Yeah, just being there on the ground,
yeah,
with folks. Yeah.
We're going to have a display in the lobby of Fort Worden's park office with step-by-step directions for how to participate and get involved. And then on Sunday, which is the second day of the two-day event, we will have a booth down at the Marine Science Center, which mm-hmm. they will be hosting.
Down in the water, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I will be for state parks up on Artillery Hill near Memories Vault.
Oh, yeah.
So then I can help answer questions and
oh,
give advice
great.
There.
That's reassuring, yeah. to sort of help people who might be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Kind of learn how to do it.
We're going to try to make it as easy as possible.
Okay. So then the next question, of course, is, well, first of all, the dates. It's June 6th and 7th. Mm-hmm. That's a weekend. Saturday and Sunday. How do you learn about it? How do you participate? Let's say a listener might be a little intrigued and going, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah. So first of all, it's free on top of free on top of free. Okay. So again, we try to make it as simple as possible. iNaturalist account is free. You know, all the apps you might need are free. The park is going to be, it'll be a Discover Pass free weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes. So both
you are free,
Saturday,
I'm free. Yes.
Saturday and Sunday, it will be free to come out to the park. So really, we just need to get you out here, bring your camera, bring your phone, and you can just start taking pictures. On Sunday, like I said, we'll have those booths set up down at the portico at the Marine Science Center's museum and then up on Artillery Hill. So you can come ask us questions or go to the park office. And then now, in the meantime, to get more information, if you go online to parks.wa.gov, that's parks.wa.gov, and search in our event calendar for BioBlitz, you know, our Fort Worden BioBlitz will pop up with tons more information for you. The link to the iNaturalist project page, which has even more information about what a BioBlitz is, you know, videos for getting involved and working through all of the processes. So there's lots of information online for you to see, too.
I was just thinking, I was on the Marine Science Center website not all that long ago, and I think they've got information on it too.
Yeah, like I said, we're partners on this, so we're both trying to get the word out.
Which, of course, is what we're doing right now.
Yes.
And encouraging everybody who's listening to come out. Anything else you want to add, Kelsey?
Oh, just that it's a great way to spend the day in the park. It really gives you the tools and the sort of reason to slow down while you're walking around in the park and look at things a lot closer. Hopefully we'll discover new things that you never noticed before. You can get really into lichens growing on the trees, mosses that are growing on the batteries, just those little things that we normally look by and don't think twice about. So I hope that you get out there and you learn about something new in the park.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Kelsey. This is fun. And I especially liked your notion of slowing down a little bit. It's very easy to keep up fast, living daily kind of life and to slow down and really look. I think it's wonderfully important.
Agreed.
This has been a lot of fun, and we could, of course, talk much longer. So thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we hope to see you out at the BioBlitz in Fort Worden, June 6 and 7. If you missed a broadcast version of Nature Now, or if you want to go hear a program again, you can find it on the KPTZ website, or you can listen to Nature Now on the podcast app. Just search for Nature Now. We also have an Instagram site where you can see photographs and links to some of the materials that were included or referenced in this program. Today's sound engineer and editor is Nora Petridge.